Oh, that's a good art.
Spoiled Object is artist Angela Pan's current exhibition on Now at Grace. Angela engages within a multi-medium practice, drawing from personal experience to navigate ideas of epistemological slippages, femininity, and an investigation into our perception of reality. Spoiled Objects brings together elements of sculpture, video, and sound, inviting us into a site of mystical encounter in which objects slip into entities surrounded by sounds of orchestral breaths. I had a chat with Angela about the show. Here it is now. Could you start off by talking to me a little bit about your practice as a whole, some of your key drivers and themes, the kind of undercurrents that are present within your practice that both ground and propel it forward?
Some of my key drivers are from my personal experiences. So I look a lot into my own desires, curiosities, and intuition, and I ask questions like why we like the things we like, why we see the things we see, and why I am who I am, and how our reality is built a certain way. Then I kind of perform breakdowns and blurring them and transforming them about like how we understand things in our reality. So I tend to use the word epistemological slippage for that. So a lot of it is about our perception of our reality and ourselves. I personally focus on things like identity, femininity, emptiness, and some of the technological works also play with like virtual reality, fantasy and reality, or like nature, nurture, nature, technology. But the list can go on. I like to like see it as more so building personal mythology. So I'm also finding ways to make sense in my own world, but like transforming them into like new senses of agency and autonomy. So what I could make meaning instead. My practice seems to be grounded by like narratives and ideas that mostly contain paradoxes and nuances. So sometimes it's a lively potential that is like forgotten or made invisible, and some other times it's because many of us are hypocrites and we don't want to see things. So like, for example, something like technology could both be celebrated yet feared. It could be like both symbolizing the future, it's like potential progression, but it could be scary if this potential disrupts society, like AI could replace jobs. It is like really lively with virtual promises until like it becomes a ghost of the past as soon as it becomes like an object or it becomes dead. So like these kind of multifaceted complexities, they kind of form like a network, and then like these are all like potentials and excesses and layers that I like to put them just under the broader theme that I mentioned earlier about like emptiness. Emptiness could mean like a lack or like nothingness, but also in like other perspectives like Buddhism could mean like impermanence, flux, potential. It's like a placeholder object waiting to aggregate. So yeah, it's more so about perspective before we begin transforming.
Your current show, Spoiled Objects, on at Grace presents an installation of these tactile fur and satin veiled objects that seem to push up against their innate identity as object and into a place of entity. And this is enhanced through their added features of sound and video. Could you walk me through how this particular series of work came into fruition? Was there anything specific that you were really interested in navigating coming into this project? And if so, did you ever stray from that? Like, did you allow yourself a kind of breathing room to occur during the creative process?
The show actually started off from a singular work, which is untitled. Mm. It was made in 2022, and it was initially like designed to be just a video work and sound work, like it was just a projection. And however, like due to limitations of the place I was meant to display it in, it didn't work out. And then I had to find another way. The space didn't allow, the site could not take a projection properly. Mm. And then, so I had to find alternative ways, like, well, I have to use a display and it has to be able to play sound. It can't be too revealing, and it has to be kind of mysterious, because that was what the video was trying to do itself. So it was more so finding a display that was speaking the same language as the video. And then I realized that technology nowadays is too familiar. So it's not magical at all. So I was really like, oh, so where can I find something a bit more magical? So I was looking for things we were like less familiar with. So that brings up technologies. And as I like kind of began obscuring and mystifying the work, because I had to do an extra layer. Like I couldn't just show the video in the technology. Like it was, if you see a phone, it's still a phone. So I had to kind of further conceal it, further abstract it in a certain way, which comes from the textile side of the work. And then I realized that by adding on more and more of these layers, it became more and more like lively. It kind of gained its own little personality as an entity. And then me and Emil from Grace, we brought up the kind of unexpected combination of how these two mediums brought up the idea of objecthood of moving image. So we were asking questions like, could a moving image also be an object? And what it means, because not only is it sculptural, it's also time-based. So the moving image in the exhibition kind of sets up a tone of the moving image is like both a subject and an object that is wanting to be desired. And it's kind of also developing this from a singular entity or object into a series makes it more like a worldview, and it's more immersive as well. So when you mentioned like breathing room, it's funny because the whole project is full of breathing room.
Oh wow. Yeah,
there's more breathing room than what I could expect, really. The way that like kind of the camera talks to the subject is unexpectable. Like it's kind of like performance. I have a series of instructions and guidelines I kind of set myself when I shoot. And then the abstraction is also unexpectable. It's a lot of testing, trials, fails. And then the only thing I really can expect is, or plan, is how I'm going to put the sculpture together after reflecting on all these unexpectable changes.
Yeah, I feel like that key thing, like allowing this breathing room, and then you've got to try to navigate this. And often I feel like that's where the beauty or it arises, like these things that you didn't even know was going to like occur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, the most unexpected thing came right after everything was made. Like the idea of the inevitability of death. Like there is, it's time-based and it's old. We are looking at a lifespan, like a living being. So we have to think about collectors as well. Like this will become a question. And as it is time-based, like we could think it really could die. But in this context, it's part of the work, like that the work shouldn't stop there after it dies. So like a pet that has passed, death certification is issued after death for the collector, and the work will kind of continue in a different context.
As you've talked about, these works navigate your video practice in a really interesting way by pairing them with these luxuriously veiled objects, which add a sense of mystery and complexity both to the video work as well as the objects themselves. You briefly touched on this, but did this installation decision and pairing these two quite different kinds of medium affect or like alter how you previously approach video making? Did it shift your modes of making with video?
I know my previous video work, whether or not it's with the series, is predominantly depict subject matters through projection or like a screen as a means. This time the medium itself is also part of the subject discussion. So like it made me consider alternative ways of presenting a digital work that feels tangible as an artwork, even in a commercial setting. So like the treatment of the technology with these fabricated embellishments develops a type of context that's like fashion. Like it's protection, it's concealment, it's performance of an identity, but it makes something that's not sculptural and embodied. So like why wouldn't moving image want to be loved like other traditional mediums? So it really flips the question back to the medium itself and the value.
And I'm really interested in this idea of each object having their own orchestral soundscape. They kind of act like these pulses in a kind of like mystical language that is occurring both between the objects themselves and then between the object and the viewer. Could you talk a little bit about this element of sound and how it aids the show into this meditative site of encounter?
The video works themselves kind of already, like they reward anticipation. So the longer you spend the time with the other, which is the work, the more you could possibly get out of each individual work. But you do have to scrutinize, and then the work like rejects the full gaze. So the sound kind of plays hand in hand with the video. like it echoes and then it kind of dances in and out of movement, where like pieces of like abstraction and figuration come in and out. So sometimes also the technology, since it's older technology, it degrades the sound in a certain way that creates artifacts. So like it, in moments you might hear that like orchestral like little chirp, and in the next moment you might hear a glitch. And then like with these multiple works all together, it kind of also considers that people will come in at different times. The encounters will never be the same, and that's kind of mystical in a way. One of my acquaintances, when they saw the show, they called the sound kind of like a chirp from the abyss. They were all kind of each calling out. They wanted to be seen, but the voices kind of had something more sinister or something more behind it. So it was playing like a little bit of a push and pull, and that push and pull kind of makes you want to guess or see more, and thus you're kind of like waiting or meditating for the next encounter within the video and the sounds work itself. It's kind of meditative because the context is generative. It doesn't really tell you the answer, but it invites more so like a prolonged engagement and contemplation of the place.
And what do you wish for audiences to gain from these encounters that are taking place within the show? Are there any questions or feelings that you hope audiences will bump up against?
I think to experience the complexity, the kind of conceptual access to the fullest, people don't need to walk away with answers, but I like to give room for people to productively speculate. That's part of the meditative aspect. Though, like, some questions I think I hope people might ask would be kind of like what spoilt could mean. So, which kind of leads to a series of social, cultural, aesthetic, and more assumptions about like value, perfection, failure. And then they might feel seduced or through these like beautifully cute, pristine, like soft objects. It's kind of nostalgic also when they realize technology and its pixels, but it also, like, I hope they feel rejected of full ownership because it kind of does reject that full gaze and full ownership. And I want them to walk away with their boundaries blurred and disturbed. So maybe it might not be disturbing because they do present themselves as if they're like toys, but it's more so like an unfolding and enlightening experience.
That was Angela Pan talking to me about her current show on at Grace, which is on now until the 28th of June.